tell you, I have the best job in the United States of America. I can pick up the telephone. I can call on some of the most educated people in the United States, some people that are just absolutely great, some of the greatest broadcasters from California to Maine. One of the best is Tom Joyner, and Tom's going to come in right now. So, Tom, come on in.
Well, Carl, I'm asked about the potential problems that this recount of presidential votes in Ohio, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania might bring, and the answer is nothing. This recount demand by Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate who won only a relative handful of votes, is a hoax. It has no chance of any success. Hillary won just Vermont, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. Now, outside of a few big cities, Trump won in 80% of the states. Jill Stein's 2016 campaign took in just 3,509,477. As of today, she has raised more than $5 million to fund a recount that she, of course, cannot even possibly win. Almost twice what her entire presidential campaign collected. The Green Party that Stein represents has done this before, to little result. In 2004, when many Democrats questioned whether or not Ohio had been lost to voter suppression, the Green Party teamed up with the Libertarian Party to pay for a recount. The result was that Democrat John Kerry gained less than 300 votes on George W. Bush, making virtually no difference in the margin of Bush's victory. Now, Pennsylvania's votes have been certified. She's not going to get anywhere there. Wisconsin is refusing, and so she's not going to get anywhere there, although she says she will sue them. But certainly, that's not going to make any difference. Voting machines cannot be hacked from afar, and most Democrats don't believe that there was any hacking or manipulation of the vote. After all, they closely monitored Election Day with volunteers at every swing state polling place. If the election was hacked, a recount could not prove it. Most of Pennsylvania's voters use direct record electronic machines with no paper ballot whatsoever. Nearly every Michigan vote has a paper record. Jill Stein doesn't claim that the recount will elect Hillary Clinton. After all, she spent much of 2016 telling interviewers that Hillary Clinton was more dangerous than Donald Trump. After conceding that Trump had beat her, Clinton's campaign has now joined the recount effort by Stein. Some Clinton fans are on the board. That's obvious from the speed of the money drive. Some of them say a recount is a fair enough answer to Republican election challenges in North Carolina. But the same lawyers who are pushing for a recount in Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin are involved with trying to stop a recount in the North Carolina race for governor. Other Clinton supporters see this recount call as a waste of time and money. At best, someone is going to tap into mounting liberal anger that, for the second time this century, a Democrat has lost the presidency while winning the popular vote. But Stein was an unlikely candidate to do it. Now, our founding fathers were pretty wise. They saw the problems in allowing the popular vote to be the criteria for the presidency. If that was what was being used instead of the Electoral College, four states, New York, California, Texas, and Florida, would control the elections. Smaller populated states like Maine, Iowa, Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, and Rhode Island, among others, including North Carolina, would have no say in the election at all. Their votes would be an exercise in futility. Meanwhile, the Liberal Democrat Party keeps flooding our country with immigrants, legal and illegal, with the aim of getting those people a right to vote, which would, of course, tip the scales to the Democrat Party. The Electoral College has chosen our presidents since George Washington. It gives equal balance to states, large and small. It's doubtful that Alexander Hamilton, who was responsible for instituting the Electoral College, could have envisioned our runaway immigration disaster. But he and other patriots knew that each state had a right to be counted in our elections. So let me put your mind at ease today. No recount of election results will take Donald Trump out and put Hillary Clinton into the White House. What it will do is further feed the divide between our people. It will cost the three states taxpayers money and time, but result in nothing more than a publicity stunt and money for lawyers. Liberal Democrats and Hillary Clinton herself were blindsided by average ordinary Americans, the same average ordinary Americans that Clinton's campaign director John Podesta acknowledged in his email that Hillary Clinton hates. The mainstream media was certain that Clinton would win. They gave up all credibility and conscience to push her over the line to victory. The Clinton campaign had campaigned on champagne on ice, ready to celebrate. Liberals were groveling at the feet of the woman who had used her gender in an embarrassing ploy to get elected. Their demonizing of Donald Trump was unprecedented, and Hillary thought that the black and Latino vote was all hers and that the women's vote was in the bag. And then came Election Day. The huge crowds at Trump rallies turned out to vote. More Latinos, blacks, and women than had been expected voted for Trump. The smaller crowds at Clinton rallies proved to be fickle. Many stayed home, others voted against the status quo in Washington. The result is that Donald Trump handily beat Hillary Clinton for the presidency. She, liberal Democrats, and the mainstream media were devastated. But they should have seen it coming. Washington has become a swamp, infested with purveyors of greed. The seniority system that exists in politics today assures us of leaders who are in their late 70s or even 80s who hold the power and who have become beholden to lobbyists and special interests. It was time for a change. Now we have one last chance to turn America away from Obama's fundamental changes. Now, I would have been deeply disappointed if Clinton had won the presidency, but I do care enough about our country that I would have done all possible to unite our people. Liberal Democrats, and we have to separate the average, ordinary Democrats from the liberal wing that has hijacked the party and is hell-bent on taking it to the far left, that they prefer to keep us divided and ratchet up the misery index in order to undermine a Republican presidency. We have a long way to go to eliminate the corruption in Washington politics and reverse the disastrous direction that Barack Obama took us in. It's going to be difficult enough with a united people, but nearly impossible if we are to fight against one another. On another subject, Tim Kaine was Hillary Clinton's choice for vice president, and that speaks again to her poor judgment. When news of the chaos at Ohio State University occurred yesterday, Tim Kaine immediately jumped to a conclusion and protested the gun violence there. But there was no gun violence, except for a policeman's bullet that killed the man who had deliberately driven a car into the crowd of innocent students. After his car came to a stop, the man jumped from the car, not with a gun, with a knife, and began stabbing those around him. Thankfully, there was a gun at the scene, and it ended the violence. But no gun in the hands of the terrorist. His weapons were a car and a knife. So do we now ban cars and knives? And if not, why not? Under liberal interpretation, these were just as deadly as a gun. The man behind the attack was an 18-year-old Somali refugee who was a permanent resident of the United States. You know, when Donald Trump voiced the obvious, that we have to get a handle on immigration into our country, the liberal mainstream media tried to make Trump into some kind of wild-eyed radical. The truth is, we will see more of these terrorist attacks here in America because we have many terrorists who have managed to get here, hide themselves among our citizens, and await the call from Islamic extremists to carry out attacks upon us. The fact that they have been here for years, like the Somali at Ohio State University, means little. There is a second generation of legal and illegal immigrants in America who have no loyalty to our country. They cannot possibly assimilate with our culture because their belief in Islam prevents it. Now, I'm going to reveal more about this threat in my commentary on December 12. I hope you will listen to that. But we must get behind Trump's call for sealing our borders and allowing in nobody who has not been completely vetted. We have to know who they are, why they want to come here, and where their loyalties lie. We have to keep track of them. We have to have them report to us when they move or are not in the same place. Other countries do that. Try going to Mexico and not do that, and you'll wind up in prison. That is not discrimination. It's common sense, a rarity in politics today. While you and I are thankful for liberty and freedom, there are dark forces inside and outside of America plotting every day to bring a disaster to us far greater than 9/11. These are evil, demonic savages to whom innocent life means nothing. They must be destroyed by any means necessary. And Carl, I heard you today talking with your guest, Carl Gallups, I believe it was, about the issues with Barack Obama, about Sheriff Joe Aparo's press conference coming up in which he's going to present his evidence that has been accrued for a good while, but which he would do him no good because you had Obama at the top, you had Valerie Jarrett in between, and you had a corrupt Justice Department that would not do anything even if you came in with concrete evidence. So it's going to be interesting to see what Joe Aparo gives us in his December press conference. But I've said all along, and others, you know, make fun of it, I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to tell you something, and I've said this before. We are going to find, as Clint Eastwood said when this fall first began, that Barack Obama's presidency was the greatest injustice ever done to this country. I've said all along, we're going to find out after the man is out of power, after he no longer controls the FBI and the Justice Department, we're going to find, in my opinion, and let's let everything come out as it will, and then you can say I was right or I was wrong, that Barack Obama was not born in the United States. He was born in Kenya. His grandmother says so, that she was there when he was born. But that's beside the point. As Mr. Gallups pointed out, what we have to be concerned with is how he got to the presidency in the first place. We have to be concerned with a birth certificate that isn't really a birth certificate. It is as phony as a $3 bill. And many experts have said the same thing, but where are you going to take that evidence to? The FBI? The Justice Department? The White House? Not hardly. So I believe that once this man is out of power, we're going to find out that we have had our legs pulled like a midget in a circus. I've said that many times before, and I know that the press will, mainstream media will turn around and try to make fun of it and try to make you into, or make me, into something I'm not. But I'm telling you right now, we had the darndest scam pulled on this country in the election of Barack Obama both times. and it's going to come out, and it will start in December with Sheriff Joe Aparo's press conference. Carl?
Tom, hang on for just a minute. I think you're right. I certainly concur in that, although I'll say right now at this particular moment, my personal jury is at zero. I want to hear the truth. I hope the truth comes forward. But the great one, the great, great tragedies of this is this man, Barack Obama, could have brought this nation together in such a harmony and in such a wonderful state that we would be, I think people are more divided among races now than any time in my memory. And I pray that we come back again, that our president elect will bring us together as one people under God with liberty and justice for all. And I know you hope the same things, you wish were the same things as I do, but the great tragedy, and I'm so thankful that I've seen so many wonderful black citizens kind of awakened in this second term, and a lot of them are not living on the plantation anymore.
Well, you're exactly right, Carl. And we have had 8 years of turmoil. It's no secret and no mystery that we are as divided as we are. Barack Obama has said now a couple of times here lately that, he didn't have any hand in dividing our people. He had every hand in dividing our people. You are right. We are so divided today. Along so many lines, including between the genders, between males and females. It is imperative, it appears to me, for liberal Democrats to use this division for their greed and their power. In order for them to win, they've got to turn us against one another. And of course, that's bad for the country, but that's not what they're looking for. But you're absolutely right about one thing. All I want is the truth. That's all I've ever asked for, all I've ever prayed for. Just give me the proof. If, in fact, there was a sordid group of individuals, including George Soros, that concocted and made out of whole cloth what Barack Obama really is, and were able to, through a phony birth certificate and other moves that they made, get this man into the White House. We have to know that because we have to prevent that from ever happening again. But you're right about another thing. Black Americans have begun to see through the problems. And I want to make another thing clear. When I mention Democrats, you'll notice that I either say Democrats or I say liberal Democrats. There's a big difference. I know a lot of Democrats here in North Carolina and across the country, across the world. I know these people, and they're good, solid folks, but their party has been hijacked in Washington, D.C. by liberal Democrats who want to take us as far left as they can get us, further even than Bernie Sanders, and I don't know if it's further than Elizabeth Warren because she's out there about as far as you can go without falling off the ledge. But that's what's happened to the Democrat Party. And so when I'm talking about Democrats, I'm not jumping all Democrats. I'm talking about liberal Democrats who have hijacked the party. And black Americans have begun to see that, wait a minute, I bought this stuff for 8 years. What do I have to show for it? I'm worse off today than I was when the man took office. Whose fault is that? You had a black president. You had a black attorney general. You've got a black head of Homeland Security. You've got many black Americans in prominent positions. And they did what for you? Absolutely nothing. And it's been that way for more than 50 years when black Americans bought in to the Democrat promises of benefits and goodies if they would just quietly go on to the political plantation.
Well, got another question. This time I'm going to let Chris Richardson answer that to you, but it's about the governor, Pat McCrory, and Mr. Cooper. So what's your question and that you want Tom to comment on?
I wanted Mr. Jay to comment. Where do you think this race is going, sir?
You know, Chris, I had high hopes that this wouldn't come to where it is. I have deep feelings that Roy Cooper is going to wind up being the governor of North Carolina. I hope I'm wrong, but there are just so many votes out there now separating the two of them, and they're fighting so hard to keep a recount from confirming, particularly in Durham, confirming whether or not illegals voted, whether or not people were trucked to the polls who weren't supposed to be voting, people who voted multiple times. And I don't see any real move. Excuse me, the press, the News and Observer, none of them are pressing to get to the bottom of that. And so if I had to guess today, I would guess that Roy Cooper, or Ray Cooper, as Hillary refers to him, will be the next governor. I don't know that's – I am for McCrory. I voted for him. I think that's our best direction. But I don't know that that's going to be any real disaster for North Carolina, regardless of how it turns out.
Tom, thank you very much for the commentary today. And anytime something comes up that we can't quite understand, I'm going to call you up, and you're going to come in and explain to the people of the WTSB radio audience exactly what they need to know.
I'm always willing to try to do my best, Carl, and I appreciate your call this morning and being with you today, and God bless America.